The following programming is sponsored by the law firm of Soloff & Zervanus. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Soloff & Zervanus Show, a legal and labor special here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic show. You're going to be talking a lot about the upcoming election, and certainly, you know, lots going on there. Bring in our host, John Zervanus. John, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, thank you as well for having us here. And our guest is Lisa Marie Dealey, Philadelphia City Commissioner. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks.
Always a pleasure. Certainly, you know, we have, obviously, we are down the home stretch of an upcoming presidential election. That will determine a lot, okay? And to say that this is a busy time for all of us that are in labor, in legal, and in the election process would be the understatement of the century. And so, you know, amongst everything that's gone on, we're going to talk about, you know, the upcoming election and really the nuts and bolts of it. John, you know, reminiscing back.
Have you said nuts and bolts of the election?
Yeah.
That's a conversation for another day.
Well, the point is, we're going to be talking about the process. I mean, we have Lisa Marie here. We're not talking about endorsements. What we're talking about is the actual election process, the integrity of the election, and especially under the circumstances that we all had to deal with several years ago. Okay, and so...
We're not going to have election watchers here?
Yeah. I can only imagine, you know, and what's going through all of our minds in America is please God, don't let us, you know, get caught up in that ridiculousness again. John, talk about, you know, what your experience was, because in a sense it polarized America.
My experience on January 6th of 2021.
Yeah. The experience of the election and finding and having to deal with a situation that alluded to the fact that every election worker and governor of elections was colluding and somehow colluded together, just the ridiculousness of it.
I'll tell you, my knee-jerk response to your question is probably something I shouldn't put on air.
The FCC might not.
But what I find to be something difficult to reconcile with is, one, this idea that you're creating an environment where one side believes that they have to have election watchers so that nothing...
Illegal
or, in, you know, occurs... at these ballot boxes, at the poll centers, and it puts folks that work for the elections in a precarious situation. Maybe not so much in Philly, although the folks on the right have suggested that Philadelphia is corrupt along with all the other big cities in the country. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that somewhat seriously, but... I don't think any side should be picking on
the integrity of
the elections and of the polling places. And, you know, it's been suggested that the last election was the most honest election ever because it was so carefully orchestrated, I guess.
Well,
but you know, that should be the case, and we should be able to believe in our elections. And God willing, that we're not going to have an issue this time around. I mean,
well, here's the thing. You know, when we talk about this and we talk about the integrity of the process, I mean, there are safeguards everywhere. Okay, the amount of the scale of the ridiculousness was unprecedented. But what it did do was it kind of pushed American against American, and it polarized a lot of what's going on. So having set that table, which is what happened the last time, we just living through that was just unbelievable.
But don't you feel like you're getting set up to live through it again?
Well, that's why we're having this conversation, because, you know, it's in a sense, you got to wonder about that narrative and all that. But that's, you know, that's the world we lived in, and that's the world that we're dealing with. Now we're going to talk about the integrity of the process and everything that goes into it by the people that do it and care about it and actually live their life based on putting the integrity together. Okay. Having said that, I'm ecstatic to bring in Lisa Marie Dealey, who, again, is the Philadelphia City Commissioner in the City of Philadelphia. Lisa, obviously, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
That conversation that John and I had couldn't be avoided, obviously, because I can only imagine, you know, the preparations, and we're going to talk about all that stuff. Tell our listeners a little bit, if you would. Okay, and you've been on the Labor Show many times, but normally for a segment, you know, a little educational thing to make sure that people understand what, you know, where they get all the right information and promoting the getting out the vote. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. How did you get into that path of where you're at right now?
Well, thank you so much. And first of all, thanks so much for the opportunity to be here and to be with John and you. This is a great chance for me to get and talk to people.
Sure.
So I was, you know, on this path for a while. I started when I was actually in seventh grade, you know, helping my mom work in the polls, you know, and even before that, you know, I was one of the only kids in my class that came from a single parent home. My mom was a committee person, and she would take me to the polls every election because that's where else was I going to go.
Where are you from? Whatever it is.
I'm from Rawnhurst in northeast Philly. So we used to vote in an old barbershop that had those square leather chairs that were on a round dais, and I would spin and spin for all hours. You know?
Oh, yeah, right.
And apparently I was taking it all in because it really got into my blood. And I've loved it ever since. I had opportunity.
Did you say barbershop?
Yeah, a barbershop. That's where our polls were.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, I would sit there all day on that chair and just spin around. And I, like a sponge, I took it all in and it really got into me. And it's something that I've loved and had a passion for. Opportunity presented itself for me to run for office in 2015. And I was successful and I won my first term. And I've been serving as a commissioner of Philadelphia since 2016. And, you know, I'm part of a three-person bipartisan board that administers elections and all things election-related in Philadelphia.
And so having said that, you know, when we talk about a city commissioner, and like you said, there's three. There's Omar Sabir and...
Seth Bluestein.
Seth, right. And so what does a city commissioner do?
We are three-member, like I said, elected bipartisan board that administer elections and all things election-related in Philadelphia. So basically, we are in charge of your election, every election. For example, we just had a special election in Philadelphia. We had two special elections even before we get to the presidential election. So on September 17th, we had two special elections occurring in two areas of Philadelphia. And we ran that whole show, right? So we have to open the polls. We have to get poll workers. We have to make sure the mail ballot is out on the street for people that want to vote by mail. We have to make sure the voting machines are in the polling places. And we have to bring it all back and count it all up. So every election, we have to do the same thing. So we don't handle the presidential election any different with regard to the nuts and bolts, as you would say. But it becomes a bigger challenge because the volume is much greater. More people are voting by mail or in person, and certainly in these two specials, it didn't include the whole city of Philadelphia. But it was a challenge for us as a department to have to get off course as we're preparing for the biggest election in the cycle to do the specials. But we have a great staff, and we got it done.
Well, how often do you... do a lot of these special elections go on? You know, because, you know, you think about your election, you think about, you know, the primaries, the general elections and all that. But talk about how often, you know, you might get a special election.
Yeah, so we get special elections every now and then. And, you know, people have really different opinions about them. But let me just say, we should always want to elect, if there's an opportunity, the people that represent us. So, you know, we do it.
Forgive me. What was the special election yesterday?
We had two House seats that were open for election because we had Donna Bullock resigned from her seat and Steve Kinsey resigned from his seat. So those two races we ran to fill those spots to finish out the term.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the wider range election, so as the Philadelphia City Commissioners, okay, you're not only handling city elections and city races, but, you know, you're talking about statewide. And
anytime Philadelphians have an opportunity or an occasion to vote for in an election, we run that election.
Okay, so when you talk about the scope, okay, of an election, the responsibilities, you know, like in other words, I'm sure your checklist is, you know, go. I can imagine, but let's talk about, in a sense, that checklist. You know, you're talking about the voting machines. You're talking about maintenance in the voting machines, making sure everything's there. The locations. The talk about what the responsibilities are of the city commissioners.
So, you know, prior to 2020, the job was pretty basic, pretty cut and dry, right? There would be an election. It would be like, I always liken it to wedding planning, right? You're planning a wedding. You put everything out. People come. They have a good time. They leave. You put everything away. Because we only had in-person voting at a large scale prior to 2020. Now what we're doing is we are basically running three election simultaneously. We're running an in-person election, a mail election, a mail ballot election, and we have satellite election offices that are also operating for people to go and vote by mail in person. So we are running three elections simultaneously every election.
So I mean, you know, obviously that's a lot of responsibility, but also, and this is I don't know what word I'd say for it, but and you're almost like an employment agency too. Like, in other words, you have to make sure that you have the you know, talk about that part.
And by the way, I have a very basic, probably stupid question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Please.
When you said to me, it's like planning a wedding. We put everything out and then we take everything back or put it away. Yeah. And the thing that hit me right away, I was like, oh, the voting machines.
Yes.
The notorious voting machines.
Right.
Like, where do they go? Where do you put them?
So we have...
At Nick's house.
Yes. We have a great... We have a huge election warehouse up on Roosevelt Boulevard. All our thousands of voting machines are there, and they are maintained throughout the year.
How are they maintained?
We have a full staff that maintains the voting machines. They make sure all the buttons are working, all the lights work, all the papers filled. You know, they're
so
charged up.
You got a maintenance protocol?
Yes.
Like somebody's going in there just to make sure they're working every month?
Absolutely. There's a maintenance protocol, and then there's testing that occurs before every election,
okay,
required by law.
Because it's such a big deal about, you know, you heard about the lawsuit associated with the machines that went to, you know, to litigation, and the allegation was that the machines weren't working properly or they were corrupted in some way.
You can't get two best friends to keep the same story.
Well, yes. I'm curious though, because if I'm a listener, I'm like, well, how do we know that they're not corrupted? How do we know the machines are working the way they're supposed to be working?
Our voting machines go through vigorous testing, and they've been certified at the federal, state, and the federal and state level, and it's every election they go through this testing.
And so, Democrats and Republicans oversee this.
As I said, yes, we have a bipartisan board.
So when somebody's
and the people that work for us, which is also an important point, the people that work for us are it's a full staff of civil servants who are not not politically engaged. Well,
and I wanted to ask you about that process. You know, you talk about the hiring process and making, you know, and it's also, by the way, I've known Lisa for years, and I obviously I have a lot of relationships, you know, in the industry, and just the integrity process, the absurdity to think that there would be a conspiracy theory that was 1,000 times greater than, you know, the Kennedy theory.
Well, that's why I want to address it. Like if you took me to oversee the machines to make sure they're working correctly, I wouldn't know a thing about it. So whoever's back there pushing the buttons and he comes back and says to me, he or she comes back and says, "That's working great." I'd be like, okay, because I have no idea. So is there some kind of check that somebody knows what they're doing to go through the analysis to make sure they're working? Like,
as I said, they go through vigorous testing at both the federal, state level, and locally we test the logic and accuracy of every ballot before every election.
Is there somebody there from both sides of the aisle, so
yes,
to speak?
Well, we are, by our formation as a board, a bipartisan board. So there are two Democrats and one Republican.
So all three of you show up for this testing?
All three of us. We are there. We invite candidates and committees to come to see.
It kind of begs the question, have you ever been there and the tech comes out and says, "Oh, this machine's not working right"?
I mean, yeah, sometimes a machine might not work right. It's just like your car. Sometimes you might go and start it. It might not work.
So if somebody comes back and says the machine's not working right, what do you do?
So we have other machines. Oh. So we pull another machine out, right? Okay. Or we do whatever maintenance or whatever would be required. And we have
inquiring minds want to know.
We have a full staff of over 20 people that's all they do all year round.
So there's accountability
all year long?
Is maintain the voting machines. And then on election day, we have a full court press out on the street.
So let me ask you this:
of technicians that roll around to make sure that everything's fine.
So in every, now you're responsible for Philadelphia County, correct? Mm-hmm. Do you have statewide meetings with other election officials?
We all work together, and the Department of State. And the Secretary of State, they'll issue guidance and whatnot, and there's opportunity for us to all be around. But one thing you should know, even if there was some minor malfunction of a voting machine, or even on election day, that does not negate your vote. You know, you still are given an opportunity to vote. There's another voting machine there, or you could vote by, provisional ballot. Basically, most of our issues are just mechanical, like the button stuck or the light doesn't go on.
I figured that. Yeah. So what I'm asking is this monitoring of these machines, you say, occurs all year long.
They're maintained all
year long. Our listeners are outside of Philadelphia County, some of which are outside.
And every county does not have the same voting system. So we're talking just about Philadelphia.
This is just Philly. So you don't know what's going on in Lackawanna County.
The same things are going on in Lackawanna County because it's required. It's required in the code.
So what you just told us is required.
It's happening all
statewide.
Yes.
They have to do this with the machines.
Yes. Yes.
So anybody's concerned about the integrity of these machines working accurately
should reach out to their county and get theirs and talk to them.
But you said it's according to code.
Yes.
So everybody's basically doing the same
thing. Everybody has to do the same logic and accuracy testing before every election, yes.
So let me ask you another question.
And we have to let people know.
Are all the machines that are used in Pennsylvania, and I have voted in different counties based on where I lived at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think they kind of changed over time. It's always not the same kind of machine.
Well, they changed for the good. And one of the things that, you know, the listener should be reassured about, and you're mentioning in your questioning, is that every voting system in Pennsylvania now is required to have a voter verifiable paper ballot. So every system, no matter what county you're in, if you're a voter in Philadelphia and you go to vote right now, you'll vote on the voting system, which is a machine, but there's also a paper ballot that prints out that you get to verify that what you pushed on that screen on the voting machine corresponds with what's on that paper ballot.
Do you have to ask for the paper ballot?
No, it's automatic in every county.
Okay.
Every county in Pennsylvania.
Does every county have the same style of machine, or they have different machines?
Every county does not have the same
different
style,
machines.
Different machine, but we're all required to have a voter verifiable paper ballot.
So I go in the booth, I do what I have to do to pick my candidates.
So if you vote in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. in order for your machine to turn on, the first thing you do is you put that paper ballot in. That
right.
turns the machine on.
Right.
So you can't get off a go without putting that paper ballot in. Do you make your selections? And then the system will ask you if you're ready to proceed, you know, print the ballot. You press yes. The ballot shows up in the window. You can verify it. If it's wrong, you can go back.
Okay. No, I remember all of that, yeah.
So having said that, no, go ahead, John.
My other question, I've always been curious by this because, you know, from the very first time I voted, I didn't really pay attention to the particulars associated with your right to vote. It's only become such an issue in the last 4 or 5 years. And there's this great debate nationally. And I understand it, frankly, why you don't have to produce ID when you go to vote. And, you know, you walk in. And no one can replicate my signature, so I'm good. But I'm curious, the idea of making sure, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but when you walk in, you don't need ID, you're just signing your name. And the folks at my polling place kind of know who I am now, so I could, you know.
Well,
they're not going to get, they're like, hey, how you doing? That kind of thing. But I'm curious to understand, and I think the listeners are curious too, is how do you know that somebody walks in and signs your name is that person?
That, you know, because we don't ask for voter ID from every voter, but we do ask for voter ID from a first-time voter. So the first time that you vote at a new polling place, or the first time you're voting in Pennsylvania, you have to produce identification.
At the polling place.
At the polling place, or even if you vote by mail, you have to produce ID. So
I know when you register to vote,
and when you register to vote, that's exactly right. So what we do when you register to vote is we verify your identity either by your Social Security number that you provided, or your Pennsylvania driver's license, or voter ID, or ID.
When you register.
When you register. So your record is verified. Because we're not just registering you unless we verify your identity.
You're verifying that they're a citizen, for example.
Yes, we're verifying that people are, you know, that have a valid Social Security number.
Right, because you know in the news they're suggesting that they're shipping in these illegals so that they can get votes. I know I'm not trying to make it political, but I'm thinking, how do I address this if someone has a concern about the legitimacy of that voter? And I understand you have to have ID when you register. So you answered the question. I get it.
So having said that, and by the way, you know, one of the goals here is when people are listening to you know, the broadcast, you know, we all know about the conspiracy theories, and we all have seen the insanity. And when I say conspiracy theories, I mean, could you imagine the amount of cooperation of the human beings involved that don't even know one another that would take to make this happen? But at the same time, answering the questions and going through them is not a bad thing. And I think it's
well, the key is, in order to register to vote, you have to have ID. You have to be a citizen. You have to be the ability to vote requires identification.
Yes. So a voter, you know, every time when they come and they vote, you know, they're swearing that they're, you know, when they register to vote, they're swearing and affirming that they are a citizen. There are swift legal penalties,
sure,
severe legal penalties for people that are voting that are not citizens.
But you would agree with me, maybe you can't agree with me, kind of a legal question.
You're the lawyer. I'm the commissioner.
I'm sorry. I phrased it in a way that was probably the wrong way to phrase it. But, you know, if somebody walks into a polling place and says, oh, I'm John Zervanos, and they sign, they figure out how to, you know, replicate my signature, and that's a polling place where no one knows who I am. Arguably, that could happen.
Sure. I mean, there are few cases of voter fraud. It's a very rare occurrence.
Right.
But, I mean, it's even more rare that somebody is going to go into a polling place, say they're John Verano, just to go vote for somebody that they don't know, to go to jail for a long time and have have their voting rights, you know, taken
especially
away from
them. Especially, like you said, for the first time.
Yeah. So now they're a felon because they wanted to vote for Joe Smith.
And like you said, Joe, it would take an extraordinary amount of effort by a lot of people to change the results of an election.
Well, in the instances that, you know, honestly, that we're talking about, it would take several people in several states and several counties, and every state does. So just take Pennsylvania as a perfect example. As we started to say in the beginning, we all have a different voting system. So the fact that there would be such an event to occur where several people from several different counties voting on all different systems all got together and figured out a way. I mean, I can't even make up the story to put it in.
In order to change the vote or the result,
in a significant,
you're talking tens of thousands of votes, correct?
Yes.
Tens of thousands, not
yes.
You might get 25.
and then they all kept quiet about it. And it's 4 years later and nobody said a word.
But to be able to do that would really be an extraordinary coordinated effort by some really bad people that can all be quiet about it.
Right, no, I get it.
Yes. Now, you said earlier, and you're the lawyer, so you tell me.
So when someone who we know is coming out and saying they stole the election, the reality of that accusation is it's just not plausible. It's just not believable. It's not credible.
Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't believable, but people do believe
but
it. But
not,
it is not plausible, and it is not credible, and it hasn't been proven in one court in anywhere in the country.
Right. Giving the benefit of the doubt to the argument, it's just not going to happen.
And another part of that, which barely gets mentioned, is on those very same ballots, on that very same election day, were congresspeople, state senators, treasurers, auditor general, all kinds of folks that got elected.
It's just not about the president.
And none of them are saying there was any shenanigans going on with their election.
Right.
So not only did all those people that you just spoke of that all got together in all the counties and all the, not only did they create this phenomenal fraud, but it only affected one contest on a ballot.
Well, you're talking about the deep state. You know the deep state?
Yes.
I don't know where the deep state resides, but there's a deep state out there.
Oh, indeed.
Well, they call it the rabbit hole and stuff.
I keep hearing about the deep state. I'm like, where is it? who's in the deep state?
But, you know, it's a conversation I don't think we've ever got. We did talk about it in the midst of it years ago.
Well, I actually feel better because as I'm talking through it and we're thinking out loud, you realize it's almost impossible to make it happen.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking a national election, which means you have to have state, you have to have coordination between basically about amongst 50 states.
Yeah.
And within that 50 state, you have to have all the coordination with all the people within that state.
That are willing to commit felonies.
Listen.
Without saying a word.
How many of those people in that conspiracy would have already signed the book deal and gotten the movie rights?
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it would be the greatest crime of all time
in
the history of the country.
In the world.
Yeah, no, it's no question. And it is ridiculous. And I'm glad, you know, that we're having this conversation. Although, in a sense, I'll be honest with you. I know some people that are down that rabbit hole. And I feel bad.
I'm related to some people that are down that rabbit hole.
Tell them to listen to the show.
I agree with you.
Because it's actually impossible.
I actually feel bad for them. Because they've been, in a sense, the narrative has been stolen from them. And, you know, I always ask this question, well, who was it? Well, I saw him on TikTok. Well, that must be true, yeah. Right? But you know, it I'm glad we addressed it. Let's
that and Pizzagate.
Yeah,
we could go on.
No question.
Go on and on.
Let's talk about first of all, obviously the presidential election is the biggest election, you know, in our cycle. Talk about the magnitude of the presidential election, especially the one coming up, in regards to the candidates, okay? And you and I talked yesterday. We got to talk about the down ballots and all that, which is something that we want to talk about. But talk about the magnitude of this election and voter expected voter turnout.
You know, it's always – not only is it the most challenging of election for the cycle in the cycle for us as people that administer the election, but it's also obviously the most participated in because, you know, we're not hearing about the local municipal elections on Jimmy Fallon or Saturday Night Live, right?
Right.
It's not in the constant mainstream people. So more people will participate. It's hard for me to say to you what I think the turnout is going to be, because there's so many factors that affect turnout, and this will be the first time. Now, we did vote by mail with no excuse in 2020 for the first time, but we have to remember we also had a worldwide pandemic, and we had all kinds of stuff going on in the city. So,
and we're keeping it. We're keeping mailing.
And we have had mail-in since then. So we know that about 50% of the people that voted in 2020 in Philadelphia voted by mail. We don't expect that
really,
number.
Really, 50%?
In 2020, yeah, because of the COVID.
I didn't know that.
You know, since then, we've seen that mail number drop to about 30%, but it's 30% of the total, so there's no way of knowing what that number is going to be because we don't have a pandemic. We had about 750,000 people total voted in 2020, so hopefully, you know, we're going to surpass that because, as I said, there's no pandemic. So I would say with some level of confidence that it'll be over 750 and at least 30% of those votes will be by mail.
So if anybody called you and said, find me 11,527 votes, because that's one more than what we need, you couldn't find those votes.
I could not.
You talk about.
I'm sorry. I got to stop. I got to stop doing that.
The process and the operation. Okay, and when you talk about the logistics of, first of all, how long does it take? Okay, what point are you prepping? I know you used to do it every day for every election, but the operation is going to happen on November 5th. Okay, how many people are going to be involved in regards to that, including, you know, poll workers and people that want to get involved. Let's, you know, talk about the magnitude of that and the preparation process.
Well, thank you. First of all, the preparation, and this is not hyperbole, the preparation for the 2024 presidential election began the day after the 2020 general election, because we knew that we had to get, you know, these challenges were building and we needed to be in place. And also we had to figure out how we were going to do this as a matter of course, because in 2020, as I stated, that was our first time voting by mail. So we set up in the convention center because we didn't have anywhere to go. We didn't have all the equipment that we have. You know, we just got the equipment to count mail ballots in June of 2020. We didn't have that equipment. It took us, you know, a long time, unfortunately, because we didn't have what we needed to count, you know, all the mail ballots that we got. But we bought the equipment. We set up in the convention center. Well, we knew we couldn't stay in the convention center, so we had to go and we had to, you know, find.
So you had to do everything by hand back then.
Before then, yeah.
Yeah.
So then we had to get a warehouse. We had to find a warehouse that could hold, that could put all, you know, fulfill our needs. We had to go through that whole process. There's all construction and stuff that had to occur in that warehouse. We have over 85. So that's, you know, that's just the bare bones of what we had to do to get to stand up our mail, our processing center, which we had to do because we couldn't stay at the convention center. Because they had to go back to having conventions, thank God. And we also have to, you know, gear up for the in-person election. So we have 1,703 precinct divisions in Philadelphia. That's over 8,500 poll workers, right? And we rely on, we rely on every city department in the city. Voting in the city of Philadelphia is a citywide event. Every department has a contribution. We rely on police, fire, streets, water, everybody. Everybody chips in a Philadelphia election, especially the presidential election, because more people, like I said, are participating.
You know, forgive me for a second. You know, I made a joke about find me 11,000 and some odd votes or whatever the number was. And you, of course, said, yeah, you can't do that. Could somebody go in and manipulate the machine and somehow find 11,000 odd votes?
No, and that's why we have the verifiable paper ballot. So you're voting on the machine, and then you're voting on the paper. So they both have to match.
So, but once the machine registers the vote, is that like a thumbprint on a computer? I mean, you can't change it ever, right? Or if it's changed,
That backs it up. So the paper is the actual vote.
So Lisa, in the face of what, you know, 2020, okay, were there any, like in other words, not wanting to relive that, but understanding that in a sense, all, you know, volunteering to be a part of election, a poll worker, okay, a lot of really, really great people are putting themselves, you know, in a line of fire now. It's not just doing something for your civic duty, but also now, what did you learn from that? And I'm sure you've the commissioners have gotten together, and you know, really, so many people have said, how can we avoid, you're going to get scrutiny like never before, and you know, the transparency I know is so important to you and the other commissioners. What did you learn from that experience? In understanding what the conditions are today. Could you ever have imagined this?
I could have never imagined this in a million years. So, you know, the commissioner's role and even the office of commissioner was always just like, nobody really knew about it. You're not the mayor or the governor or even a council person, really, because you're not somebody that people deal with on a regular basis. Suddenly, we're on the national stage. Worldwide stage. We're getting interviewed by other countries. I mean, there was news from everywhere every day at that convention center. I didn't have any formal media training. Like this was crazy, right? What happened in 2020, and since then, it just keeps going. It keeps growing. Just the other day, I was interviewed by a French broadcast. Just the other day. Right, we're months away, and the people in France want to know, what are we doing, right?
Exactly. You're sitting there, you're going, okay.
It's a worldwide event.
Yeah.
It's going on in Philadelphia because we are in a political environment where the presidential race, people are watching these states, these swing states, and we're one of them.
What gets me is that, you know, because I obviously know so many people, the ridiculousness of a conspiracy is one thing. Risking, you know, that, and the fact that you're doing it in the face of a felony and jail time in the hundreds of thousands of people without saying a damn word, but the integrity of the people, like in other words, in your entire life. Let me just ask you an honest question. Probably for the first time in your life, just by the situation not created, not being trusted. Okay, what does that do to you? You're out there doing, you know, you got involved in this for the right reason. You do it for the right reason. And yet, before it even happens, you're in a no-win situation, no matter how much integrity you put into the process. What has that been like?
This job since 2020 has changed my entire life in good ways and in bad ways. I really watch my social activity, where I go, who I go with. You know, I look at my rearview mirror quite, you know, quite a lot more than I ever did before. My social media is scary.
Why?
It's because people just say things. I have people that comment no matter, they must have an alert on their phone every time I put something on, one of my social media platforms. They respond with something like, oh, you would look good in an orange jumpsuit, or
really?
You're lucky you're walking the streets today. You know, you should be in jail. I mean, my mom reads that stuff. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, and never...
I try not to let it get to me,
so
but some days it
you've
does.
You've been threatened since 2020, but before that, never threatened.
Never threatened.
And the pressure of getting it right. Knowing, by the way, that we're human and no one is perfect. Talk about that pressure going into this. Because it must be unbelievable.
There's so many spinning plates. It's amazing that we ever get it right. But we do, and we will continue to. And
what's amazing is, why would you even want the job?
Exactly. Right. Well, that's it. You've been. I've often said.
Thank you. That's all I can say is thank you for doing this.
I agree
this.
With that. Thank you, Lisa. And
I mean, gee whiz, I'm listening to this going, why would you ever want that job?
Well, let's talk about the education part, because one of the things that I know about you, which is so, you know, is you've been so great to want to get out there and educate the people, okay? You see this as an opportunity to educate the people on, the rights to vote, and the details about the polling places and all that. Talk about, we talk about the upcoming election. Talk about your striving to make sure that people are educated so they can exercise their right to vote.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, everybody needs to make sure that their registration is accurate. So we always want everybody to go to our website at vote.philo.gov. and check their voter registration. If they're voting in person, you want to check and make sure that your polling place is in the same location that you think it is, because for a lot of folks, they haven't voted since 2020. And even more folks might not have voted in person since 2016. So there are a lot of people that only vote in a presidential election. So if they vote in person, they voted in 2016 in person, then 2020 came and they voted by mail, and now it's 2024 and they think they vote at the church around the corner, but they don't, right? So I were encouraging people to make sure that they check and make sure they're going to the right place when they're going in person to vote. And when they get there to vote, you know, there's so much talk about the presidential race, and rightfully so, because the office of the president and who wins that has a worldwide impact. Everybody wants to know. But there are other races on the ballot that are equally, if not more important, to Philadelphians and Pennsylvanians, and they're the down ballot races. So we want to make sure that if you're going to vote, you take the time to vote for the U.S. Senate, to vote for your congresspeople, to vote for the auditor general and the attorney general, the treasurer, and your other representatives in Harrisburg.
Didn't you say we talked about 40,000 votes? It was, so, you know, there were 40,000 people who did not vote for a down ballot that impacted a previous election. What were we talking about?
Yeah. 41,598 people skipped the Pennsylvania treasurer's race. That's a statewide office, and the margin of victory was just over 52,000. So that's really close.
And that was 2020.
That was 2020.
You mean they vote for the president,
and
they roll.
They roll.
Yeah. That's it, one candidate.
Yep. And there's so much more on that ballot that affects people. You know, obviously, the presidency, it's important. We're not downplaying that. But it's equally, if not more important, who is serving us in the United States Senate. That's a six-year term. Like, it's important. Who's getting that job for 6 years?
Well,
people need to take the time to vote for that office. And their congressperson, the people in Washington that are making the decisions that affect our everyday life, we need to vote for them. We need to vote for our attorney general in the state because it's law enforcement for our state. We need to vote for the treasurer. We need to know that our finances and the money that we collect is being, spent and invested wisely. Our auditor general super important, right? We want to make sure that there's no waste, fraud, or abuse going on with our state tax dollars. These are important races, people. If you've taken the time and you went to vote, or you've taken the time and you requested a mail ballot, just give it a little more time and get the most you can out of your vote. Don't throw your vote away for just voting for one contest. Go for the whole ballot. Go all the way down to the bottom. With those state representatives and those state senators that are up on that ballot, they're your neighbors. A lot of times you see those guys and girls in the supermarket. They're coaching your kids. You see them at church. Their offices are in walking distance to your house. They're working for you every day or not, but you got to go vote and make a choice. So we're encouraging and really going to do a big push to see what we can do to increase the down-ballot participation in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. Let's talk about deadlines, key deadlines, that may be, obviously voter registration, mail-in ballots. Talk about are there any deadlines that are in effect or that we're close to or that we're over?
Yeah, so we're good for the November election. And like I said, we want everybody to go to vote.phila.gov for all their answers. But the last day to register to vote for the November election is October 21st. You have until midnight to register to vote. So if you want to change your party, change your address, change your name, or if you or anybody in your household is going to be 18 on or before November the 5th, we want to get them registered to vote. We want to make them part of the process. The mail ballot, you have to apply for that too. You know, we talked a lot in the beginning about mis and disinformation. Let me just tell you, we don't just mail out ballots. You have to request, if you want to vote by mail, you have to request to vote by mail. And that mail ballot application has to be submitted by October 29th. So if you want to vote by mail or you want to vote in person, you want to go to vote.phila.gov, get all the information you need, or you can call us too if you know the internet's not your thing.
If you're talking about, and I know we're going over this again, but the polling places, if you want to know, you confirm because you haven't voted in person in two terms. If you want to know where you're voting, your polling place is, same website?
It's vote.phila.gov or call us at 215-686-VOTE.
Are there early voting locations?
We do not have early voting in Pennsylvania, but what we do have is in-person mail-in ballot.
Okay.
So you can go to a satellite election office, you can request your mail ballot, and they can print your ballot out for you. It's a one-stop shop. You can get your apply for your ballot, have your ballot printed. You can go to a secure spot, vote your paper ballot, and put it back in the envelope and hand it in. One-stop shop. You can also go there to register to vote or to apply for a mail-in ballot, and if you don't want to stick around for it, we'll mail it to you. Those locations, as they start to open up as we get closer to the November election, can also be found on our website. So in the coming weeks, as we get closer to November 5th, I encourage you to just keep checking our website and all of our social. We all individually have social media platforms. Check us out. Get all the information you need. Vote.phila.gov. And as I said, there'll be satellite election offices and polling place changes. Check your voter registration, whatever you need. 215-686-VOTE or our website at vote.phila.gov.
And so you talk about education. Are our youth motivating our young people? Are they getting out there to vote? How do we, let's say this, in labor, we always educate. Our big point is to educate our young members, obviously, on the importance of voting for the different reasons. Okay. Are we getting a large portion of our youth, and I'm talking about young people 18 to 25, out there? Are they voting?
I think that we're trying to do a job on that, but we certainly can do better in Philadelphia and certainly as a country, right? I think a lot of the reasons why our young people don't vote in cases where they don't vote is because they don't understand why. They don't understand the connection. They don't know, you know, what's the point. But they are getting it because it's more mainstream, and a lot of the people that they follow on social and all are telling them to vote. So we're encouraged by that. The people that don't vote, quite frankly, are my age. And a little younger than me, like that age group.
I said
age.
That. I said 25.
Yeah, you're the best.
Well, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We just don't vote.
Middle-aged
people
crazy. Don't vote.
Middle-aged, older people vote, and younger people vote. The people in the middle, not so much.
Really?
So,
but I thought it was the young people that didn't vote.
Talk about making voting convenient. Okay, senior citizens, transportation issues. Are there services? I know a lot of our labor unions, get out there sometimes. What is if somebody's having a hard? Say they did not. They're depending on going in person, but they're having a hard time with transportation. Are there transportation services?
The city does not offer transportation services, but at every election, there's always candidates and committees and different even nonprofits that are out there that are trying to do whatever they can to drive the vote up. So I would say, even though it's not a service that the city provides, if somebody finds themselves in that predicament, they can call our office and we can help them find somebody to help them.
Health accommodations. Okay, people still, you got a lot of people coming in one place. Is there a policy on wearing masks if people want to wear them?
If people want to wear masks, they're more than, that's their right. They can wear them. They are not required.
John, we're coming down to, the nitty gritty. We only have a couple minutes left in the broadcast. We have such an important election coming up. One of the things that we try to do, and I know that it's been important for us here, is to give people the information so that they understand how to vote, where to vote, and the process and the integrity in the process. Okay, you had some questions, and I think those questions were important questions because we all believe in our process, and there was a lot of craziness in the last election. Okay, how do we? Is it possible, knowing the climate now, to even avoid it? If it doesn't go a specific way.
I'd love to know how that would work, but I don't think it's possible. I think that the environment that's been created, I think we're almost guaranteed to hear. There's a setup going on right now that. The suggestion is that you can't trust the other side. And that really kind of applies to both parties. It's been something that's been going on, in my opinion, for 20 years. Because when you started having talk radio became political, with Rush Limbaugh and everyone that followed, and then you have cable news, and we talked about it before we got on the air, that cable news is almost addicting. It's like, I gotta tune in tonight and see what they're saying, because the more crazy, the better the show.
Right.
And you want to get attention, say something provocative, and you're going to get attention.
I think, you mentioned the media. Okay, and the responsibility. Listen, we can have any type of America we want. Okay, but doing the right thing and having integrity as Americans, and understanding that we're only as good as who we are as a people, and in God we trust. Well, we entrust. Obviously, not everything's perfect, but there should be some sort of moral code. Okay, and when you say that, common sense, and I believe this, common sense in the process, the things that we talked about today, okay, must prevail. Lisa, we got a minute left. Any parting words, if you will?
Thank you so much. Vote.phila.gov. Be a voter on November 5th.
Fantastic. Well, listen, John, any parting words?
I plan on being a voter November 5th.
Nice.
Absolutely.
We will. It's success.
That's right. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Saul Hoffman Serrano Show, our legal and labor special here on WWDB Talk 860. Of course, we want to thank Lisa Marie Dealey, Philadelphia City Commissioner, for being our guest on the program, for doing what you do every day. And now even more, you and Omar and Seth, okay, in the face of difficult circumstances and the great job you guys do coordinating everything and bringing integrity in the process. And, of course, we want to thank Nick, okay, for being a hell of a producer here. Nick, what's your last name?
What is it? Custodio.
Okay, you got it. Listen.
It's a plug for Nick Custodio.
Right, Nick Custodio in the house. I want to thank everybody again for tuning into the show. On behalf of John Zervanos and Lisa Marie Dealey and Nick Custodio, I'm Joe Doherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.